Take your Bibles, turn with us to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading at verse number 34. And our subject this afternoon, it is harvest time. It is harvest time. John chapter 4 and verse number 34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And he did what he set out to do. Amen. Amen. Verse number 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." Now you say, well, he's talking to the disciples. Are you a learner today?
That's right.
Are you a disciple today? Is he talking to you today?
Amen.
He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. Where he says here, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages." I like that. A lot of people say, "Well, I just don't like to talk about what rewards we're going to get or anything." Jesus talked about a spiritual harvest here.
Amen.
And he said, "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, those that'll be saved. But both he that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together." That both he that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together. It's not just the missionary, but it's those that help the missionary. Amen? We sow and we reap. We sow and we reap. God is the one who takes care of all the bookkeeping.
Amen.
He doesn't have to have Quicken.
Amen.
He's able to take care of all of the bookkeeping.
Amen.
And herein is that saying true: one soweth and another reapeth. We've heard that a lot, haven't we? Herein is it true: one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Isn't that good?
Amen.
You can't be down there on the coast. You can't be on the boats all the time. That's what I'm for. But you're going to reap.
Amen.
This church will reap. You're part of it.
Right.
Part of the work and part of all the mission work that you do. Now, I like chapter 4 of John because of what we've just read, but it's a chapter full of surprises. Now, I like surprises. If somebody brings me, my kids, they'll bring me a present. "Now, Daddy, this is for your birthday. You can open it if you want." I said, "No. I want to wait." I like to wait until, I like to wait until the very day, and then when they gather around, I like surprises. And sometimes I am really surprised. But anyway, I like surprises. This is a chapter full of surprises. First of all, the woman at the well was surprised that Jesus would speak to her. She was surprised that he would speak to her. Notice what it says here in chapter 4 and verse number 9. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him," speaking to Jesus, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Why in the world would you talk to me? I'm like a dog to y'all. When the Jews would come down out of Galilee, they'd get close to the Samaritan border, and they'd cross over the Jordan and go down the other side, and then when they got past that Samaritan part, they'd cross back over. But Jesus said, "I must what? Needs go through Samaria." Why did he have to go there? Because there's a woman to be saved. Amen? So he must needs go. But that woman was surprised. She was surprised. And the woman surprised the men of the city by saying, "Come see a man."
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And she was surprised about some other things too. She was surprised that Jesus knew all about her.
Right.
He knew all about her. Hey, he knows all about you too.
Amen.
John chapter 4, verse number 29. She said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He told me everything. He told me everything. Verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. I believe she was surprised, don't you? And then the disciples got surprised before it was all over. The disciples had gone to the grocery. They'd gone into town to get some groceries. And when they came back, they brought some food for Jesus. But he'd already eaten. He'd eaten of spiritual food.
Right.
Chapter 4, verse 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Boy, it'll be great when we get to back to the place where we have meat to eat that the world knows nothing of. Amen.
Amen.
We had some of that at camp.
Amen.
Enjoying the things of God and just being set apart. Away from the television. Away from the radio. Away, I mean, you just yonder. I'd never been to yonder till I went to Mountain View Baptist Camp. And now I've been yonder. I've been to yonder. Where's that camp? Yonder. Amen. I like yonder. That's where it was at. Oh, my dear friends, how good it is. And then we find Jesus making an announcement. He said the harvest is great. Souls are ready. And there's good pay. There's good pay. He said, you know, there's benefits. There's benefits. Saw a fellow had a cap on the other day. He was talking about working for the Lord. He said, well, the pay ain't much, but the benefits are out of this world. Amen. But he missed it. There is a pay. There is pay. And every believer, every one of us here, we need to know about the harvest. We need to be concerned about the harvest. We need to know that Jesus' words, I have much people in this city, is true.
Amen.
God has got a people. Let's look at the harvest being ready. Verse number 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The harvest is there. Look at it. I grew up on the coast. I didn't grow up around cotton. The last 20 years, I've lived in cotton country. Lived up around Grenada, Mississippi, and Elliott, and Duck Hill. And I mean, they grow some cotton. And I would just stop whenever the cotton was in full bloom. I mean, it was just there. Cotton was full. Blooms come early, and then the cotton... And I'd look over that and it'd look like a sea of white. Sea of white. And every time I'd look at that, I'd think about the scripture that the fields are white already. And I know it wasn't cotton, and I know that it means it's getting ready to rot and all that stuff. I'm not getting into theology. I want to be practical today. The harvest is ready.
Amen.
That's what I want us to focus on. A harvest that is ready. Now, this harvest has to do with the finished work of Jesus. It has to do. He came to finish the work. And he finished his work by paying for our sins. I'm thinking about John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, verse 11, talks about the work that he did for his sheep. Says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Giveth his life for the sheep. The harvest has to do with the finished work of Christ. And then notice with me also in verse number 14 and verse 15 of John chapter 10, where it says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I tell folks, they can't hardly get it, but goats are never sheep and sheep are never goats. I mean, that's the way it is. And I'm glad that he laid down his life for me.
Amen.
But it's not our business to know who's the goat and who's the sheep. It's our business to preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Every creature. Everybody needs to hear about the Lord Jesus and salvation by grace. And the harvest is ready right now. John chapter 4, verse number 35, it says here, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work, to finish it up, to get it done, the harvest is ready. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Don't say that. We're not to wait 4 months. We're not to wait 4 days. We're not to wait 4 hours. Yesterday we were out buying stuff. You know, we're having to get some sealer, some of that deck paint, you know, for the transit where we'll put the different things in there. And before this is all over, I'm going to have 50 or more languages that I'm going to be dealing with all the time. And that'll be a real blessing. 3 of us went. Brother Jim, myself, and Brother Stephen. We went. I had my bullets and my gun in the transit. I had my bullets stamped. But I didn't put any bullets in my pocket. Jim forgot his. Stephen brought the bullets. And everywhere we went, he's passing out a track.
Amen.
Passing out a track, passing out a track. Well, I tell you, somebody says, well, if God's going to save the elect here, let me tell you something. Your job is to get out in the harvest field, amen?
Amen.
Your job is to get the word out. Your job is to be faithful.
Amen.
And I love doing it. Man, I love doing it. I love to do it. Get the word out. And we're to begin right now. Now, there's some instructions about how to do this. Now, it says there in verse number 35, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. A lot of folks walk around with their head down spiritually. They're looking down all the time. You know what I call them? Turkeys. They're a bunch of turkey Christians. You know what you'll find if you look down all the time? You'll find $17.37. You're not going to... A turkey just pecks around on the ground, doesn't it? You say, but a turkey can fly. You ever seen... I mean, I've seen turkeys fly. We had lots of turkeys where I lived there in Duck Hill. But they don't go high. Get up to about the second limb, and they don't see much. But if you're an eagle, boy, you can lift your eyes up high, can't you?
Amen.
Lift your eyes up high. Lift up your eyes. In other words, look at the harvest. That's instruction. God never tells us to do something. He doesn't give us instruction. Lift up your eyes and look on the field. See people as God sees them. And don't procrastinate. Do you know there's some procrastinators around? Procrastinate. Procrastinate. My buddy Boudreaux got on the bus in Memphis. He's on the bus. He'd been reading that Reader's Digest, and they got all them words in there. And he asked the bus driver, he said, look, I got one of them words I can't figure out. The bus driver said, which one is it? He said, it's the word procrastinate. The bus driver said, it means to put off. He said, procrastinate me at Union and Madison. Well, that's not exactly what that means. We're not to put it off. We have a job to do. Amen?
Amen.
We have a job to do. That's what we are to do. Get the word out. Preach the gospel. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. One of these days, the sun will go down on your life. Sun will go down on my life. Life's evening sun is sinking fast. And what we do, we must do now. What Olmsted Baptist Church does, you must do now.
Amen.
The day comes when we will not be able to work. I was thinking just yesterday of Brother Forrest Keener, how much I loved him and how great a preacher and what a great man. He's not with us anymore.
Right.
Brother Garner Smith, he's no longer with us. Brother Harvey, he's no longer with us. Who's got the responsibility now? We do.
Right.
And one day our eyes will close.
Right.
But tell you the truth, I'm not looking for the undertaker.
Right.
I'm looking for the upper taker.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm still pre-trib, pre-mill. I don't care. I mean, I do care what you are, but that's what I is.
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
I believe it. I believe he's coming soon. Amen. And I'm just going to keep going until he comes. I'm going to do that.
Amen.
One fellow told me, he said, look, you're a missionary. You're a missionary. Don't go around preaching your doctrine and that. Just keep it simple and all of that. Man, I can't help it. What's in me just comes up. What's in the well comes up in the bucket.
Yeah.
Amen. That's just the way it is. Amen. Now, verse number 36 of John chapter 4, we see that we've got to have some folk. You got to have folks. God uses people. That's his plan. The rocks could cry out, but that's not his plan.
Amen.
And you notice it here in chapter 4 of John in verse number 36, we find reapers are needed. Verse 36 says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know what's wrong? We've got too many spectators, not enough reapers. We got lots of spectators today. I like to watch everybody else work. Boy, we got way too many of them in America. But spiritually we have it. And we've got too many shirkers and not enough workers. There's a song that I like. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home.
Amen.
There's a group of people today, maybe we need to change the words. We'll shirk till Jesus comes, we'll shirk. No. Let's work, amen. Let's not shirk, let's work. Let's do the work. That's what we are supposed to do. Workers in the field. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37 says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38 says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe we ought to pray for laborers that'll be in the field. We need to do it. And I believe in our day and age, there are quite a few of us that are not expecting much of a harvest. Somebody says, well, we're in the gleanings. You know, it's just the gleanings. Well, let's get in the corners and get it. Amen. If the gleanings are there, let's glean. I mean, if you can root something up, root it up. I mean, get in there. It's a good thing. A lot of folks are just trying to hold on. I'll tell you what, our church is just holding on till Jesus comes. Well, let's do more than hold on, amen?
Amen.
Let's go forward.
Amen.
Let's go forward. We need to be active. We need to be aggressive. Then the reapers need to cultivate with compassion. That's one of the things about these men on the ships. When they see, and listen, hey, people can tell whether you mean it or not.
Amen.
They can tell whether you care or not.
That's right.
I tell you what, I'm learning a lot about international cuisine. And when they ask you to eat with them, you better eat. They want you to. Sit down to eat with us. The other day I had dried squid, flat as a fritter. I mean, they just, I looked like they took a steamroller over them. And dry, and then the next day, I had a squid that big, and they had just boiled it and stuffed it. Wasn't bad, you know? You have lots of different things. And I could go on about things like that. But whenever they see that, yes, you care about them, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. We need to have compassion on some, having compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. And reapers must not be lazy. It's a demanding work. It's something you're... Listen, we're not to grow weary in well-doing. Is that right?
Right.
Now, I told somebody the other day, I get weary in the way. I don't get weary of the way. Sometimes I do get weary in the way. We came in here on Friday, and we got unloaded. I went yonder. I'd been yonder, and I went yonder too. I got in that chair. I don't know who brought that chair down there that's got that gear on it. And you can pull that gear, and it'll lay you right back. I don't know who put that down there, but thank you, thank you, thank you. I cranked her back. I was weary in the way, but I was glad I'd been weary of the way, but I wasn't weary. I'm weary in the way, but not of the way. Too many words. Too much to say. But I cranked her back, and I slept for a while. And I'm so glad that Brother Jim didn't bother me. But here's the thing. He'd done gone and cranked down somewhere else, amen? He wasn't going to bother anybody. He cranked out. Amen. But I'm not weary of the way. Sometimes in the way, but not of the way. Amen. And then there are rewards. John 4 and verse number 36. We read it. We looked at it. I'm just going to peek at it again. He that reapeth receiveth wages. Now it says that's a reward, doesn't it? I mean, this is spiritual work. This is not physical. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, what's the pay? Well, we'll look at that, but I'm going to read Galatians 6:9 first, where it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now I know we do a lot of labor and we don't see much. But the Bible says we will reap. Right. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen? That's a promise of the Word. It is God's Word. But what are the rewards? What's the pay? Well, we have wages now. Hey, I don't know about you, but I like being in church.
Amen.
I like being with y'all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was on a ship one time and I had this Hindi scripture and I went into the crew's mess, and they were there and talking around and all that. And I said, I have this. And I laid it down. Well, they've got Bukul dialects in India. So when I picked up, he says, they see you as a servant according to what caste they're in. And so they'd see me as a servant. That's pretty low caste, you know. I come to serve them. But he looked at it, he said, only one man can read this on this ship. I said, well, it's for him. It startled him. He said, oh. Then I said, he can read it to y'all. He said, y'all? Oh, he didn't know what y'all was. Then we had to have a southern language lesson. But just getting the word out. Listen, there are wages. There are blessings in the daily life, isn't it?
Amen.
Blessings in having good friends.
Amen.
Blessings in having a good church. Blessing in having a good pastor. Blessings that come in this life. I'm getting to the place where I've got blessings of good memories. What memory I got left? But anyway, I've got good memories of good times and good places and good meetings. Thank the Lord for it. There are wages. And then there is fruit that will be evident later, Chad. We were talking about this, brother. It'll be later. We don't know. Only heaven will tell. You give a Chinese seafarer a Bible and he's just overwhelmed. It's the first Bible he's ever owned. But not only that, many times it's the first Bible he's ever seen. And it's his. And he cherishes it. We're having a problem getting Korean language Bibles right now. Pray with us about that. We're looking. We want something that's received text, and we want to get that which is right. But that's an important thing for us. And we're also working on getting the Ultimate Question, a very good little booklet, and get it in multiple languages. Brother Bob Doom's got some of those. And if I buy a bulk, I can get them for $1 a piece. And that's good. That's a good price on those. But we want to get it to them, and we want to see fruit, and we want to labor. We want to do what God would have us to do. And only heaven will tell.
Right.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Here's our greatest reward. Here's our greatest reward. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Listen to what the great apostle said. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? He's saying, look, you were saved under our ministry.
Amen.
Here's our joy. Here's our crown. For ye are our glory and joy. Here's our crown of rejoicing. Here's our hope. Isn't this good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Friends, it's harvest time. And if you want to glean around the corners, that's fine. Okay. But I believe we'll see people saved. But if we faint not, be not weary.
Amen.
Don't grow weary. Y'all like Spurgeon? I like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Everybody uses him. You know, whatever camp, they'll cut out what they want. And but it's true. I mean it. But listen to what Spurgeon said. He said, I would rather be the means of saving one soul from death than to be the greatest orator in the world. Listen, I've rejoiced with this little baby Matthew. I like that baby. Where's Matthew at? There he is. He's already, listen, his daddy got him started right as a Baptist. He's on the back pew. I'm joking with you. But I've rejoiced with that boy. He's a sound man. He's very sound. But sound men's in trouble. Amen. Oh, boy. But here's what Matthew Henry said. He said, I would think it greater happiness to gain one soul to Christ than mountains of silver and gold to myself.
Right.
Just to see somebody saved. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Isn't that good? Let's stand together. And Brother Jim can come and close as he pleases, but I'll tell you something. I'm glad I'm in the field. I'm glad I'm in the field. I am. I rejoice in the opportunity to be one who sows. Sometimes we get to reap. I rejoice in that. I do.